You're listening to DraftKings Network.
On April 26th, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. Only in theaters April 26th. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to the Big Sui, presented by DraftKings. Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face and the Habitual Liar.
The whole Cassius Marsh thing, I think for context, they should have replayed the roundhouse kick. Because number one, it was a sweet-ass roundhouse
It was
kick.
So good.
Great celebration.
It was so good. Yep. So flexible. You had to marvel at the way he swung around and just how much strength he had in his core and the pelvic region.
I'd never seen someone celebrate like that. And the refs, you know, let's just say their eyes started being directed towards Cassius Marsh. And at that point, he was already on thin ice. So he turns slightly to the Steelers sideline, says something maybe to the punter. And then Tony Corrente, who probably already made his mind up after the sweet Jean-Claude Van Damme roundhouse kick that Cassius Marsh delivered, decides that he is looking for any other excuse to flag him. And basically, he sticks his hip out. He sticks his hip out to further indict Cassius Marsh to make it seem like it's an amalgamation of all these things.
He also had his hand on the flag already. Like, he had his hand. Yeah. He's a gunslinger who's got his hand on the gun.
It was like
the
what?
Yeah, it was like a wide receiver that drops the ball because they're already looking upfield. That was what Tony Corrente was doing. He was telegraphing the flag, but he wasn't telegraphing, like, you've done stuff already. It's going to be in addition to this hip check, but I know I'm going to make contact, so I can't hide from everyone else what is obviously me rigging this. And he reaches for the flags after he hip checks Cassius Marsh, and now that's three things Marsh has under his belt, and it's a taunt.
Under his black belt.
Yeah, it's unfortunate the NFL decided to have all these partnerships with gambling entities, sportsbook entities, such as our good partners over at DraftKings. I think they have five.
Our great partners over at DraftKings.
They're family. They're family. They're not partners. They're family. And they have this super arbitrary rule that is totally in the hands of these officials. And it makes games seem even more rigged by officials. It's odd timing. They need to clean that up. And Corrente, with that hip check, he needs to be suspended.
I would say that what you have in that league, no matter what your complaints are about the officiating, that team, that league's blessing is also its curse, that these teams are so evenly matched that And we have the ability with replay to just basically get these things a little bit too right with everything, that when there's a mistake by the official, it ends up being too costly. That would have been a giant story last night if it hadn't impacted the result of the game. But when it impacts the result of the game, and then you get into the conversations of, wait a minute, is there a gambling link that I have to look at here? Because you, the part that you left out about the hip check and that Corrente had already decided that he was going to throw that flag no matter what, even if it meant he had to instigate contact. Like, that was an offensive foul on the referee. He initiated. Yeah. He was James Harden. He initiated.
He drew a charge.
Marsh was moving.
The NBA has outlawed what Tony Corrente tried to do. And I think you're being far too kind calling it a mistake. That Tony Corrente meant to initiate contact with Kevin.
I mean, all referee mistakes. I mean, how they get hyperanalyzed because these teams are so evenly matched and because the games are close and because when you affect the stakes on something that has big stakes with one of these calls, it's going to get more noticed. But you didn't even mention the most James Harden part of what he did. When he threw the flag so high, he was incredibly pleased with himself. He was holding the motion like a Steph Curry three, like holding his hand up like, I am at the center of the spectacle. The spectacle is mine. Look at me. And the grace with which on NFL films, when they slow that down, it's going to be amazing. When they do the artistic cinematography that has the flag float through the sky, he threw the hell out of that flag.
Yeah. It should be in slow motion at the hearing that Tony Corrente has at the NFL offices, because this isn't a mistake. This isn't a DPI. The Browns have lost games against the Chargers with DPI. That shit happens. This was him going out of his way to initiate contact to further implicate a unsportsmanlike penalty on Cassius Marsh. It was bullshit what that guy did.
What was he actually penalized for? Was it the roundhouse kick? Was it shouting in the general, not seeming to shout?
It was touching the referee. That's what it was.
I think if he doesn't deliver that sweet-ass roundhouse kick,
right,
and he just merely does the slow trot, kind of to midfield, saying something to the punter and going back,
he's good.
Nothing happens. It's the kick, and now they're on to you.
I enjoyed being introduced last night to Cassius Marsh when he took his helmet off, and you saw not just the mane of hair, but that he was also wearing something with an extraordinarily furry collar. He had the combination of hair and collar, looked a bit like a Viking. During the game, he spends a lot of time on his eye black. That is not something that is carefully administered, and it takes a lot of time. And it is exactly the guy. You knew him when you were 15 years old, the guy who was a little too into mixed martial arts and was doing roundhouse kicks around the neighborhood. He's been doing that since he was 15. I expect, I don't know about you, his mama calls him Cassius. I'm going to call him Cassius. I expected him to not be white. Just, you tell
Cassius
me.
Cassius Marsh?
Cassius, you just tell me Cassius Marsh, linebacker for the Bears.
Right. You just say Cassius, and hey, there's a guy named Cassius, right?
Yeah, but the surname kind of, I don't know.
Senior?
Do you know any black Marshes?
Do you know any white Cassiuses?
That's a great question.
This is why I only know one Cassius, and I'm not even sure this is, I don't know what I'm doing with the ethnicity of the name. I just know only one Cassius.
He looked like Sabretooth in the post-game press conference. Tony Corrente said that, the contact had nothing to do with it. Tony Corrente is lying or displaying the behavior of a liar. Because he meant to do that. And regardless of anything that led up to that moment, you can't have a referee doing that.
Brad Marsh.
Bigger jerk last night, Jokic or Corrente?
Jokic resorted to thuggery. He resorted to the street stuff.
Now down low, it's going to be Al Horford. He drives. He goes up and gets knocked out hard. Oh, my goodness. The Heat have resorted to thuggery. And Al Horford slow to get up. Miami. They're down by 19, and they have to resort to the street stuff. That should be a flagrant foul. These Miami Heat players are street thugs.
That's courtesy of the Hawks Radio Network. Parakeet Cortez believes that Jokic should be thrown in jail for that. I want to, before we get to Jokic with Greg Cody, I do want to just go back one more second to get his thoughts on what happened last night with the Bears-Steelers game, because Tony Corrente is a great name for a villainous referee.
Yeah, for a crooked ref.
And I think I'm with Mike on this.
And a mob boss.
I think I'm with Mike on you need to suspend him. But would the league suspend him? Would the league actually do that, penalize him in a way that tells all referees, hey, you can't hip check the player to caught to swing the game and then make the whole thing so look at me that you're standing in the middle of the chaos that you have wrought and you're holding up your hand as the flag cascades, floats down from the heavens with all of your ego and vanity soaked in it.
Like, I love him holding the follow through. Oh, sorry about my voice.
Jesus.
Yeah. I just need to get a sentence out, and then once I get a sentence out, and I just did. It's coming out right now. This is the sentence.
Free to do
once
that.
Once I get it out, I'm good.
Feel free to do that before you get in here. You're a professional.
I can't do that, dude.
Yeah.
I can't. No. Yeah. It's got to start here.
I love it when your voice goes bad because,
thank you.
Because I do that occasionally.
Yep.
I have an issue with my voice, like just now. I thought it was great.
I mean, it's just great. They stumble in. They just stumble in.
I got my sentence out. I'm good. I'm fine.
I thought it was not getting better, though.
Three sentences usually is.
It's just descend. It's a
four sentences.
It's a descent into
five
hell.
Sentences.
No, you need that. It's like your vocal cords need calisthenics.
Warming up.
You got to warm up.
Stretch it out.
Yeah, I have to stretch it out. Right.
You see, here we go.
I'm telling you, man, I'm simpatico.
Hey, isolate that. Here we go. As we slide through the phlegm. On the word go. It hasn't gotten.
You sound like Harvey Fierstein.
Now I'm good.
And it's cold,
not,
too.
Not there yet. Yeah. Not there.
In the cold, now, you got to rev up the engine like
hold
a car.
Up. Yeah, hold up.
Mm-hmm.
Now.
There it
now
is.
Now I am good.
There it is.
Yes.
What would be the equivalent of, like, what could LeBron James do to his body that would be the equivalent of what, like, Stugatz does to his voice?
In terms of not
like,
taking
just, like,
care
not
of
taking
it?
Care of it. Like, just, like, I guess if he ate McDonald's every day.
He could just risk paralysis with his every movement. Just so reckless with his entire life that he just doesn't value the only thing that he needs to value in order to continue making money.
Getting back to that ref for a minute, more important, getting back to me, I wanted to say, not only should he not be suspended, he should be given a raise, that guy. I loved it. It was performance art. I want more referees. I want more referees in my game. I want a guy like that. He's hip-checking. He's throwing a beautiful flag. He's celebrating himself. I just thought it was glorious. It was great. And it was a, you know, ultimately it was a good score. The final score was close, but I thought it was a pretty dull game.
Who's being safe now? Huh, Dan? This is a bold, polarizing take.
This is not an innocuous columnist. Stung recently by his, by the criticism that he's an innocuous columnist, he has just not only sided with the referee, not only refused to suspend him or punish him in any way, wants to reward him and wants a proliferation of Tony Corrente's prancing around throughout his sporting events, creating chaos and changing the results of the game. You can't. It's one thing to be a look-at-me referee. It's another thing to be the look-at-me referee who changes the results of the game with a move that was so villainous it should have been something Leslie Nielsen did in Naked Gun.
The guy got in the way of his hip.
So I thought with the league announcing gambling partnerships, that things that you would have to scream into the alley, a shadowy alley, because you got totally boned by something, but you can't really go out and argue it because sports gambling was technically illegal. With the proliferation of sports gambling now and the league actually formalizing partnerships, I thought shit like this would be cleaned up. There has to be accountability, I think.
But in Greg's defense,
yeah.
Is this not a correct application of their new point of emphasis?
There you go.
We have seen terrible taunting penalties throughout the league. This has been consistently administered. And I understand, like, yeah, Tony Corrente throws his backside out to make, you know, contact with Cassius Marsh, but still, he's looking towards the sideline. We've seen these kinds of terrible taunting penalties get called all year.
We don't know that that was intentional. Oh, what he did. Wow. What if he has a trick hip? Yeah, sometimes it just juts out. Exactly. You know what I mean? Yeah. We're not taking into account. Yeah, yeah, and that's his own personal health. We don't know what's going on there. Are you to tell us that he can't flex his hip from time to time?
I want to backtrack for a second because I did hear some announcers on Sunday really struggling, and one of them threw out Heinie because people get scared in broadcasting around the backside. Now, you went in there with a lot of confidence, went right in there like a man who has in the past made whatever, he's eliminated whatever trepidation he had around ass, Heinie, took us, whatever it is that you wanted to say, whatever. Settled in on the confident backside is what you're going with that region, because I heard some announcers fighting over Heinie, which I was not expecting this weekend.
Can't use Heinie in 2021. No. We have to retire Heinie, surely.
Unless you're talking about I almost said about the Washington quarterback, Taylor.
You almost said it. Good thing you didn't say it.
To Billy's point,
and
though,
you said it.
Do you guys ever have that hip issue where you like your hip's a little locked and you got to like open up that leg a little bit?
See?
It might have happened.
To Witty's point.
They're ignoring us, Chris.
Tony Correnti was already, you know, towing that company line. So point of emphasis. Sorry, mornings are rough for me.
Yeah,
stretch it out.
Stretch it out, my calisthenics.
Here we go.
Yes, there you go.
Okay, so Tony Correnti was actually towing that company line. Like, this is a point of emphasis. But if you've watched the NFL in recent weeks, they've been calling taunting a hell of a lot less than they were earlier on in the season because it went over like a lead balloon. You can't have a point of emphasis. It's entirely subjective and put even more power into the ref's hands, especially when we're watching at home and we don't know what's going on. If someone's lining up in the neutral zone and if it's Robert Quinn doing it twice, I can see that. That can be a point of emphasis. You can't make a point of emphasis something that's entirely subjective when you've announced 5 gambling partnerships.
They can because they have. It is important to them, to the Wellington Maras of the world, to...
You keep blaming Wellington Mara.
It is his fault. That's his son.
He's the only one bothered by it.
Wellington Mara, just for the record, nepotism. Is no longer with us.
Wellington Mara, this is his spirit haunting us from the beyond through his son.
Yep.
And you've got to grant me that in giving it to Wellington Mara, it is the perfect comedic name to assign the No Fun League, because the two things that I saw brought up again and again, the two things when you see the outlandish moment of a referee appearing, whether he's got a trick hip or not, to instigate contact so he can throw a flag high in the air and hold his form on the follow through and decide that game. The two things that I heard more than any other were the complaint of, you have to be kidding me, deciding a game with No Fun League taunt as the call, combined with the gambling element. Those are the two things that people were immediately going to, and one of them you really don't want around football. This is why Goodell was a follower, not a leader on gambling. He waited for all the other leagues to be aggressive with this, and they like money in football. And he's like, no, we'll sit out that oil well, largely sit it out until we get permission from everybody else, because we're the most conservative league, and our fans might want to moralize around the sport. That he doesn't want. But they very much do want the idea that they've stopped these athletes from emoting so much that it's unsportsmanlike. That is league-wide edict. That is owners trying to exert their power. And you say taunting calls are down. I trust you, but I haven't seen numbers on that. I feel like there are complaints about this every week. There's some stupid taunting call in a game.
There are, but I'll look it up, but I'm pretty sure the sheer volume of calls on this entirely subjective rule have gone down because it hasn't been popular. For people watching at home, it's been hard to follow, and I hate to be like the gambling guy on it, but I was resigned to the fact that this shit happens and it's a bad beat. But it's a dawn of a new day. It's legal now. We can talk about it. You're advertising with it. You want people to go to DraftKings. You've signed billion-dollar deals. So this is the penalty for all of that, is accountability.
You can't have a referee doing that. Even if gambling isn't there, you cannot have a referee initiating contact. And I'm not even talking about the bullshit that led up to that. What Tony Correnti did by putting that cherry on top, by showing you the manifestation of his intention there, by showing you how flawed he was as a human being, that's wrong. Hey, it's Mike, and I know you were hoping for an update on those fishtail ponds in my backyard. Well, have I got news for you. I actually got lighting installed, and I can change it with an app. Beautiful fishtail ponds lit up red, depending on my mood. If my hockey team wins, we light those suckers red. Anyways, I like being outside. I like looking at those fishtail ponds. You love hearing about it. But what's in my hand other than my app changing the lighting? A Miller Lite is in my hand. That's right, because I know when a Miller Lite is in my hand, I make a good time, Miller time. I take that first sip. I know immediately I made the right call. Nothing goes with my fishtail ponds quite like a Miller Lite. It makes everything so much better. And I'm going to have some people over. I'm going to toss them that beautiful white can. They're going to say, heck yeah. And they're going to have that first sip and know, just like me, that they made the right call. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Chris Cody making a face.
Are you going after his character now?
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
I am going after his character.
Wow. Jeez, I honestly, hot today.
No, he had a vendetta.
I honestly think what happened to Correnti is what happened to Jokic. He was angry and he saw red for a split second and he did something he shouldn't have done. I don't think this is
But he's a ref.
No, I'm with you. It's unacceptable. He should be punished. But I don't think this is like some like deep, like he's hated this guy for years and it's like, I'm going to get him.
He had a vendetta in that moment.
Right.
He flashed.
Right.
The problem is Jokic can't call a 15-yard penalty deciding the game.
No, that's true. He should be punished.
This is a Von Damme.
He should be executed.
This is a Von Damme movie. Tony Correnti had a vendetta, is on the poster, and Cassius Marsh is doing the roundhouse kick. I can't believe the number of people in America talking about Tony Correnti today, and I want to ask the group the question of, is this one of those circumstances for no matter how much we gnash and wail, is this a Chris Cody circumstance of any publicity is good publicity because the real harm, no matter how much people are complaining about your league, the real harm in the short term is nothing. It's just people talking about a game they otherwise wouldn't be talking about because Bears-Steelers isn't that interesting. And so now you have the soap opera elements. You have it's the night. Mike Tomlin got his 150th win last night. He's one of only 20 coaches to do that. The Steelers have a great streak. 19 straight Monday night wins. What a great feeling for a fan base to keep tuning in on Monday night and your team always wins, but those are two teams that are not going to win the Super Bowl. We don't know much about football. We know those two teams are not going to win the Super Bowl. They played a game, the only game of the night. It had stakes, and in the middle of it, you had something that has us clucking like crazy and will fill the cycle today. No baseball. You will not see on television anything about baseball, basketball, and the Lakers and Carmelo. Everything will go off and recede into the distance. Everything on television will be talking about that game last night. Is the controversy actually that bad until you get to the point that the integrity of the results are in question because you have so many gambling-related questions or gambling-adjacent suspicions that it becomes corrosive, which is the reason it's the danger of getting involved with gambling to begin with. It's what they've always feared reputationally.
And it's not just the gambling aspect. The Chicago Bears season, and I know a lot of things in that game developed after that play. Chicago still had an opportunity to win that regardless of that, but it played into the result. And forget the gambling. You just had a 53-man roster break their bodies on a Monday night, have a short week turnaround, laid it all out there, and could have potentially had a win at
Pittsburgh at Heinz Field, which would have been massive for their season in a hotly contested NFC playoff chase. And it was just ruined basically by a vendetta. We have the video. It's irrefutable.
And also, to the point that Mike brought up earlier about the taunting penalties being down, there were 11 in the first 2 weeks of the season, and in an AP story in October, they referenced there were only 3 in weeks 3 through 5 of the season. So they are down. Troy Vincent gave a quote to the story saying, coaches are liking where this is trending, the players aren't doing this anymore, they're keeping it in mind. So it was a point of emphasis early, as they often are, but it has decreased since.
I think Mike and I define vendetta differently.
Yeah,
When he says basically a vendetta, that's a lesser Von Damme
you
movie.
You think a vendetta is like a more long-term...
Yes.
Yeah.
He got emotional. He got emotional in that moment, and he let his emotions get him, and he did something he shouldn't have done. Like, I think that's indisputable.
It's ridiculous.
I think it's from the evidence that we've seen, it's totally plausible that they saw this roundhouse kick and been like, well, is that taunting? Because we've never seen that
before. It's obviously taunting.
But we didn't pull the flag there, so now let's just lock in on him. He chattered some, but is that enough? Nah, let's have him bump into me, but I'll initiate contact. Boom, dead to rights.
The two definitions for vendetta, one is a blood feud. The second one is a prolonged bitter quarrel.
Okay,
yeah, long term, man. It's a bit longer term than the 20 seconds that it takes for a football play to develop.
But he's right in this. It is longer term in that he was holding on to it since the roundhouse kick. So it was longer term. Like, he should have just thrown the flag. I don't think anybody would have said, if a guy does a roundhouse kick and they throw a flag, I think a lot of people would have said, that's wrong. You shouldn't have probably flagged that, but I understand. It's way too showy given where it is that your league is on this stuff, but he needed something that was more unimpeachable, and so he threw his hip in there.
Right.
And you don't believe, when you said, you didn't finish your thought, you said, what's ridiculous?
Well, the idea of saying there's a vendetta, if there's a vendetta there, it's a little micro mini vendetta that fostered over the previous 30 seconds or whatever. I just think that there's more. Flags are an issue. Woody, I'd be interested to find out if flags in general are up in the NFL, let alone taunting, because seems like they are.
Not so interested that you would ever look it up yourself, right?
Right, yeah, exactly.
Well, we trust Woody.
But it seems like they are, and I find the NFL increasingly unwatchable. And here's why.
What?
Wow, all the primetime games have delivered.
I know.
What?
Listen, here's why.
Innocuous this.
When your team
innocuous this.
Makes a big play, when your team completes a 49-yard pass, you hold your breath before you cheer because you're waiting for that flag. Flags have stultified the NFL. I think it's ridiculous. Big plays are called back by motion penalties, and a guy jumped by an inch. It's something's wrong with football.
I understand what you're saying.
No. Yeah,
I wasn't expecting you to stick the landing, but I understand.
Wait a minute. What do you mean something's wrong with football?
Because they rob the emotion away from you.
There's no flow to the game. There's too many flags. That's what I mean.
Guillermo, put it on the poll. Have you ever used the word stultified? Guillermo, so you called for his execution because you...
Well, we're all saying things today. I figured let's just get there already,
more,
you know?
No one more than Cody, though, until you did one-up him while suggesting that we should execute Tony Corrente. Yeah. I did think that...
I won't go that far. I might go life in prison. Definitely not execution.
It's early still. We can get you there.
Thank you.
He's made football unwatchable. He essentially killed a sport for you.
Greg, unwatchable? Like, I understand complaining about the flags. You're making a good point. I believe a lot of people are bothered by you're always waiting. Is that little yellow thing going to show up in the corner of my screen? It's not even the flag. It's just the graphic.
Yes. And
is the television graphic going to put a yellow flag?
Maybe they should just get rid of the graphic.
You're just not soccer guys. Because soccer, I can't celebrate anything in soccer anymore because of VAR. It was bad enough with the offside flag. I have never celebrated a goal more than when Chelsea equalized in the FA Cup. And like 2 minutes later, there was an offside flag and the goal was taken away. That's hard. The flag, we're predisposed in the NFL to always look at the bottom, that bottom liner, to see if the flag graphic's going to come up.
Exactly.
What are the stops on this, though? Because we've talked before... And I've told you guys before that going back to when this rule change started, I believe, Greg Cody, it had to do with a Vinny Testaverde play that Vinny Testaverde at quarterback, it was a goal line play, and clearly at the end of that game, the wrong team had won because the referees had gotten it wrong on the field. And the advancements that came after that were so far-reaching that we now are microscopically officiating these games from every single angle while, and this part's always interesting, you've got, technically, you're getting it so very right here, but Mike, all over the field, you have subjectivities. So you're saying you can't make one rule subjective, but every play, there's somebody holding somebody else, and all of it's subjective. So you have, what I'm saying on these isolated instances of getting it more accurate, I've been complaining about, this is too much. This is too much. When you have, you're trying to get it more and more accurate, but you have subjective all over the field, pass interference, everywhere else you've got subjective. And here you're trying to get it too specific. But I don't go all the way, Greg, to unwatchable or ruining my viewing experience. You're still watching all of this. You're bothered by it, but nobody's doing unwatchable on this. Nobody's doing unwatchable on, even if I tell you today that there are gambling suspicions all around what Tony Correnti did.
Right. Unwatchable is hyperbole for dramatic effect. I give you that. But the thing about officiating is, did the flag directly affect the play? My complaint is that don't call what may or may not be a holding penalty unless it prevented a sack, unless it opened up a hole for that running back. If it was peripheral to the result of the play, why are you calling it? If there's a completion downfield and it's negated because an offensive lineman was 5.5 yards downfield instead of the limit of 5, why are you calling that? It did not affect the play in any way whatsoever. I just think there are too many superfluous penalties that need not be called.
An overwhelming part of our audience does not wager on these games. So we're harping on one little isolated part, not little, but an isolated part of a game that was actually terrific. Justin Fields had moments. It's just unfortunate that we're talking about this. And while I agree with you, a lot on that field is subjective. Taunting specifically appears to be the most subjective. And also, as a viewer at home, the hardest for me to decipher whether an illegality has happened.
It is one of the places, and you've heard me complain about this with dress codes in the NBA or in the NFL with do-rags, where the rules are meant to be for everybody, but you know that they're fining Quentin Richardson when he's wearing a collarless shirt and they're not even noticing the games that go by that Stan Van Gundy is wearing a collarless shirt. This is a very subtle place where the power, which is almost exclusively white, and the arm of enforcement of referees that is meant to be doing the work of the white owners, they are eradicating from the game something that largely the white customer and consumer is the one moralizing about. Because this is what's happening here in trying to get rid of the taunting and having an idea of sportsmanship that might not be everybody's idea of sportsmanship.
Just want to be clear, Cassius Marsh is white.
Helpful, like you were going down a path. And
I was still doing that. I thought he was black.
Yeah, because Cassius.
He's not. Cassius, yeah.
He's not. Yeah, he's white.
What I'm saying is the rule overseeing everything. I'm not saying that this is being done to Cassius Marsh because he's black or white. I'm saying the people making the rules are the brethren of Wellington Mara, who isolated and identified a problem that wasn't actually there. Nobody was complaining about that except the people in the room making that rule. Who was complaining about the taunting in the NFL? Did you know that taunting was a problem in the NFL?
I knew taunting was a problem in the NFL.
Oh, come on,
yes.
Stugatz.
No.
Come on. We didn't know taunting was a problem in the NFL amongst the older owners?
No,
Get out of here.
No, that's not what I'm saying. That taunting.
To you.
Were
you ever, like, appalled?
I mean, I guess not. To me, no.
People tend to point to the Super Bowl. People tend to point to the Super Bowl with Antoine Winfield holding up the peace sign to Tyreek Hill after the interception as like, that is a really bad look. That is poor sportsmanship. And that was used as the gambit for these conversations, according to certain reports.
Cassius's middle name is Lee. Ah.
Cassius Lee, I like it. Taunting has to be very extreme to be called, in my opinion. If it's obvious, if it's totally offensive, you call it. If it's borderline, it's not taunting, it's showmanship. That's what's trying to save baseball, is showmanship. The idea that guys are doing a slow home run trot and pointing at the picture, at the pitcher, that's great for baseball. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing.
Look at Greg Cody.
Wow.
Yeah. It engages younger people.
Jury Duty changed you.
Who is this person?
I love Jury Duty, by the way, but that's a whole different story.
No one loves Jury Duty.
I love Jury Duty?
Yeah, it was great. It was fantastic.
Really?
It's such a great experience. I felt great to be an American, a citizen, a voter who's honored to have been called for jury duty. It's
but you're fantastic. A member of the media. Don't you tell them that? Like, you're not supposed to be in a jury. That's how you get out of it.
See, I got
That's
the best,
how I get out of it.
I got the best of both worlds. I was called to jury duty, but I was not picked for the jury because I'm a journalist,
nice.
Because I'm married to a defense attorney, and because as soon as the judge started referencing LeBron and talking about the Heat, I knew that he knew who I was, and he did. And so at that point, I'm like, yes, there's no way I'm going to be picked for jury duty.
So you don't love jury duty.
I love the idea of jury duty.
Yeah, the selection process.
Yes.
Yes.
I like being
getting out of it.
Yeah. Right. But not single.
It sounds like you like getting out of jury duty
even
because
more.
It feels great.
Oh, my God.
Does,
when they pick the 8 jurors, in order by number, I happen to be juror number 22 out of 28. I was counting down those numbers. And when they got that, the last one was number 18, and I'm like, yes.
Look how happy like going, Greg yeah. is right now. And I really don't know what his stance on this is. He spoke so glowingly of jury duty and loving it.
Get ready for the least surprising thing ever.
Well, I love the idea of jury duty as well.
Right. Oh, here we go.
Fulfilling one's obligation to one's country sounds like an ideal way to spend a day.
$17 an hour.
And perhaps weeks.
But you've never done it.
No.
I know. No, but you wouldn't want to be involved.
I kind of like the idea.
You want to be selected is what you're saying.
We love the phrase, a jury of your peers.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be a peer.
Right.
Yeah. I want to be a peer.
Of course you do.
That has the equal and even-handed arm of justice.
Wait a minute. What if your peer is a murderer?
It sounds like you're just looking to make friends at jury duty.
But I don't know if he's a murderer. I have to find out.
I'm not so sure.
I have to deduce.
I'm not so sure.
But you were sure that last night the referee did the hip check.
He stuck his backside out. There's no argument against that.
The evidence is overwhelming.
I mean, the video evidence. What else was it? I mean, it might be your aforementioned trick hip.
Like, could, I mean, look, let me just say this.
You're going with the trick hip defense?
I saw a video of Lincoln Burroughs murdering the vice president,
yep.
his brother,
yeah.
and it ended up not being the case.
Wow.
Doctored footage.
Mm.
So that could be it. It
if
could
the
be,
hip is trick, you must have quit.
I want to explore a little more Chris Whittingham's desire to have the power of justice. Now, do you also want to get selected, or are you like Greg
no,
Cody?
No, he wants to
I
be
do.
Selected.
Yeah,
yes.
I want to.
Yes.
I want to sit in a room for several hours reading books, you know, and killing time. And then if I get selected...
Whoa.
Killing what?
Killing time.
Oh, okay.
Whitty's the kind of guy who would campaign to be the jury foreman.
Yes.
He would lobby the other.
I would be
the
a great foreman. Yes. I'd be a great foreman.
Yes. Yeah, you would, yeah.
He'd wear the C.
Right? I like the idea of being on a jury. I like the idea of being a juror, too.
No, you don't.
I do, but I want it to be a good trial.
Stugot says he'd wear the C. Like, did they give you a captain?
Yes.
Messi A.
No, it'd be like soccer. I wear an armband. Captain's armband.
I don't know. Why you made the jury foreman the captain?
The Alexander Balkoff of juries. The jury foreman is by far the captain of the jurors.
Yes, I guess.
I don't think Whitty would like a hung jury, though.
Oh, no.
Very,
that's
a lot of
chance to say
no. Yeah.
No, we'd get in a room and we'd hash it out. If I'm a foreman, we're not having an uneven result. It'll be a unanimous decision.
You don't want to stretch out the process, though?
We want to stretch out the process. Okay.
But right. Whittingham wants a result. Whittingham's the jury that Whittingham is the foreman of is not going to embarrass him by coming back hung. That is not going to happen.
That's an insult to the foreman, a hung jury.
Put it on the poll. Right. Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. Is a hung jury an insult to the jury foreman? And also, is the jury foreman the captain? Because I'm pretty sure that Stugatz, it worked out for Stugatz, as it often does, but I thought for a moment that Stugatz thought that the jury foreman was known as the captain. And just, it's early in the morning, the
fellow jurors call him Cap.
Or Skip, I guess. If you're going to do a sports term, I would think it would be Skip more than Cap.
Have any of you been a jury foreman? I have once.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you have a nice time? Was it great?
I enjoyed the hell out of
it. Wait, tell us about it.
So it was like a driving under the influence trial, but the kid that was on trial actually tested negative. He refused an on-site test, and several hours afterwards, he had blood tests negative. But there was a cop that nobody liked. That very clearly had a Tony Correnti-like vendetta against this kid. He didn't present well. So after a very short mediation inside the jury room where I took the leadership, I'm like, I would love to send this no guilty. I'll be the jury foreman. I, once again, like Tony Correnti, held out my hand as I handed the notes to the bailiff and just left the follow through hanging in the air. Not guilty. I love that.
Feeling of power. Wow.
Well, I thought that would be the allure for you. The idea that you would be able to go in there and control somebody's future freedom. I thought that that's the reason that you would love jury duty.
Well, the thing I love the most, and we talked about this a little on the Greg Cody Show podcast that came out yesterday, if you want to listen to it.
Beautiful.
I enjoyed the voir dire, where the lawyers and the judge, in this case, are all asking you questions. And, like, one of the judges asked, because cops were involved in this, do you tend to assume cops are telling the truth or not? And my response was, you never know. And I was using bits.
Like, that's not true. There's no way that's true.
You love that the judge knew who you were.
Loved it.
At one point, the judge says, can you be objective in this case? And I said, Zagacki. You know, and so I enjoyed myself. It was fun.
You were just doing bits.
Right, exactly.
You were doing your own personal show.
Back in my day. That's right. That's exactly right. Enjoyed the hell out of it.
Hey, it's Mike, and I know you were hoping for an update on those fishtail ponds in my backyard. Well, have I got news for you. I actually got lighting installed, and I can change it with an app. Beautiful fishtail ponds lit up red, depending on my mood. If my hockey team wins, we light those suckers red. Anyways, I like being outside. I like looking at those fishtail ponds. You love hearing about it. But what's in my hand other than my app changing the lighting? A Miller Lite is in my hand. That's right, because I know when a Miller Lite is in my hand, I make a good time, Miller time. I take that first sip. I know immediately I made the right call. Nothing goes with my fishtail ponds quite like a Miller Lite. It makes everything so much better. And I'm going to have some people over. I'm going to toss them that beautiful white can. They're going to say, heck yeah. And they're going to have that first sip and know, just like me, that they made the right call. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.